You need to learn to create the climate. You see, to maintain order in the world, our brains link objects, gestures, and symbols with feelings, memories, and life experiences. We mentally associate ourselves with such things as endorsements, sights, sounds, colors, music, and symbols, just to name a few. This association allows us to make judgment calls when we don't have the required time to do thorough research. Great persuaders take advantage of association to invoke positive feelings and thoughts that correspond with the message they are trying to convey. In this sense, you, as a persuader, can actually arouse a certain feeling in your audience by finding the right association key to unlock the door. Associations are not the same for all people. Obviously, each person has their own set of triggers. Some people, when you talk about the beach, they relax and they think about the sand and the surf and the sky and the seagulls, and they become relaxed. Others think about the time they went and spent the whole day there, got sunburned and were miserable for 3 days, and have bad association triggers. Once you understand the general rules, you can find the right association triggers to match any prospect, patient, client, or customer. And of course, some associations are universal for an entire culture. The law of association is constantly at work. If an audience likes a picture, a logo, or musical jingle that appears on an advertisement for a product, they also tend to like the product. Why is it we must dress up for a job interview? Is it because we know that a terrible appearance will bring into bearing certain unwanted assumptions or associations about us? Have you ever heard about past cultures where the messenger was actually killed when he brought back bad news? Why do you think it is that restaurants decorate a certain way, have lighting a certain way, and play certain types of music? All these things are defined as association triggers. Speaking about the messenger who brought bad news, the bad news infects the teller. You see, it's human tendency to dislike the person who brings us unpleasant information. It doesn't matter whether it's fair, it's just reality. When that person brings bad news, the studies show that simple association with that person and the bad news is enough to stimulate our dislike for that person. There was a study done where students were waiting for an experiment to begin, and they had the job of informing a fellow student that an important phone call had come in for him. Half the time the call was supposed to bring good news and half the time bad news. The researchers found that when the students conveyed the information very differently depending if it was a good news or bad news call. Now, when it was good news, they would say, "You got a phone call with great news. You better go take it." But when the news was unfavorable, they would say, "Hey, you got a phone call. You better go take it." Obviously, they've learned that these association triggers are a big part of life. It's hard to be friends with a brother's girlfriend or a divorce after a messy breakout. The person in the doctor's office who gets most of the heat is not the doctor. It's the person at the front desk. You've all heard guilt by association. So we all need to be careful what memories we trigger, what association triggers we bring when we're talking to a prospect. You need to learn to time your approach. You need to understand moods as you learn the law of association. Why is there a fish tank in a dentist's office? It triggers relaxation for most people. Why is the bad person in movies usually the ugly one? All association triggers. And let's talk about endorsements. We all know what endorsements are. Companies use famous people to pitch their products, so we'll associate that individual and their success with the product. For example, Bill Cosby endorses Jell-O and Kodak. Michael Jordan pitches for Nike and Hanes. And Tiger Woods does Titleist and Buick. We tend to like products, services, and ideas that are endorsed by people we like regardless of the quality of the product. Sometimes we'll even buy the product for the first time simply based on a celebrity endorsement. And when you look in the sports world, many of your top athletes will make more money in endorsements than they actually do playing their sport. We naturally want to be associated with fame, fortune, and success. That is why we follow the lead of celebrities we admire, respect, and like. It's also why we use products they endorse. It's amazing to see teenagers ignore their parents' warnings about drugs, but when their favorite star or professional athlete says it's not cool, they stop. This is the power of association. Endorsements are huge business. Consider this. U.S. companies pay more than $1 billion to athletes to secure endorsements. About 10% of advertising expenditures are paid to the endorser, and about 20% of all television commercials feature a famous person. All in all, the use of celebrities to endorse products is one of the most popular and effective associations marketers and advertisers use. Why do corporations spend tremendous resources to find the right spokesperson to bring the right association to their products? We hold our beliefs and attitudes to define and make sense of who we are. By shaving with the right razor or eating the right cereal, we are saying, "I'm just like the ball player. I am part of the attractive in-group. By purchasing the right stuff, we enhance our own egos. We rationalize away our own inadequacies as we become just like our favorite celebrity. The critical factor in using celebrity endorsement is creating an emotional tie or association between the consumer and the athlete or celebrity. The athlete or celebrity's positive associations have been transferred to the product or service. Wearing the same shoes or driving the same cars as our hero allows consumers to identify and associate with their idols. Now, understand, this is very important. There is a downside to using celebrities to promote products and services. Anytime a celebrity gets negative press, that association tends to carry over to the products and companies they promote. Depending on the severity of the circumstances, the celebrities will be usually dropped like hot potatoes. Michael Jackson was once an endorser for Pepsi until he was accused of child molestation. Tonya Harding, the Olympic figure skater, was a Nike endorser until she was convicted of an assault on her fellow skater Nancy Kerrigan. Mike Tyson was an endorser for Pepsi until he was convicted of rape. O.J. Simpson was the spokesperson for Hertz rental cars until he went on trial for double murder. And when we talk about the law of association, you have to understand anchors, or the ability to capture the feeling. You see, anchoring is a technique that captures the feelings, memories, and emotions of certain events, places, or things. The psychology behind the technique's success lies in the use of elements from previous situation or circumstance to replay the emotions and feelings of that experience. An anchor can be anything that brings up a thought or feeling and reminds you of something you have previously experienced. It will usually reproduce the exact emotion or feeling you experienced at the time. Remember the experiment of Pavlov's dog? It's the same idea. You use a certain stimulus to create an association that will bring about a particular response. And that emotion could be good or bad. An anchor can be produced either externally or internally. Anchors don't have to be conditioned over a period of several years to be established. They can be learned in one single event. The more powerful the experience, the stronger the anchor will be. Phobias are an excellent example. Most phobias are established after one single intense experience. Now, let's talk about three different sets of anchors: smells, music, and symbols. Now, there are other elements, of course, sight and taste, that could be used as anchor, but the three that are the most powerful in evoking memories in our mind: smell, music, and symbols. So let's talk about the aroma of persuasion. Let's talk about smell. Our sense of smell is so powerful that it can quickly trigger associations with memories and emotions. Our olfactory system is a primitive sense that is wired directly to the center of our brain. By 4 to 6 weeks, infants can tell the difference between their own mother's scent and that of a stranger. Almost everyone has experienced situations in which a smell invoked a nostalgic or not so nostalgic memory. Think of the smells that take you back to your childhood. For some, it's the smell of fresh baked bread, or freshly cut grass, or the neighborhood swimming pool. You can go back 50 years in a matter of seconds with a sense of smell. Fragrances, aromas, and odors triggers memories, feelings, and attitudes in our minds. Smell can enhance or reinforce desired responses as well as positive or negative moods. There are multiple examples of this. Supermarkets with bakeries fill the air with the warm aroma of breads and coffee. Some children's stores send baby powder through the air ducts. When you walk through the mall, the food merchants will make sure you smell their cookies, cinnamon rolls, and Chinese food. Real estate agents are famous for having tenants bake bread before they have interested buyers tour the house. Because think about it. You tour the house, you smell the bread, you are back home. Large amusement parks will pipe in certain scents at certain time to trigger responses and get immediate reaction. The use of smell in these instances is an attempt to link the seller's products and services with a positive attitude, thereby inducing the shopper to buy. In the same way, you can link positive smells with your message to create a positive attitude in your prospects, patients, clients, or customers. A study conducted among undergraduate students found that female students wearing perfume were rated as more attractive by male students. Scents were even found to improve scores on job evaluations in a study published by the Journal of Applied Psychology. Now, on the flip side, of course, offensive odors can be used and have been used to invoke a negative response. This technique was used once while campaigning committees were rating and appraising political slogans. Not surprisingly, when offensive odors were present, ratings for those slogans went down. Then there's music. Feel the beat. Music is much like smells in that our brains link music with attitudes and experiences from our past. Music is closely tied to our emotions. Think of the theme music from Rocky, and then think of Jaws. The two movie themes invoke different emotions. Think about it. Local gyms pipe upbeat music outside to those walking by so they can associate that energy with the gym inside and the good times inside. In one case, a local convenience store had problems with teenagers loitering outside. The store wanted the teenagers' business, but they didn't want the drugs and the fights that seemed to go with it. They decided to play Frank Sinatra song outside the store and soon found that teenagers voluntarily stopped loitering. You may still remember the particular song played during a dance with your high school flame. Music has a powerful pull on us and triggers instant memories. Because music is so powerful, persuaders need to carefully select the music they're going to use. Advertisers often use a popular song or a catchy jingle. Notice the next time you watch television how many songs you recognize from all the commercials. You'll be surprised. Every time the ad is played, the tune reinforces the product's appeal. Music is universal because it has the power to invoke emotion shared by all of humanity. We know music can soothe the savage beast by creating instant energy and excitement. And then there's symbols. We live in a very symbolic world. Symbols bypass our thoughts and our logic, and they affect our perceptions and behaviors. Take gold, for example. As one of the world's most precious metals, gold is very symbolic of wealth and success. Countless stories are told of the search for gold. But if you stop and think about it, there are other precious metals that are harder to find and far more precious. Gold, however, just holds a certain symbolism. It denotes success and wealth. Symbols can also help us understand and feel a message without actually having to undergo the experience. Here's an example. Skull and crossbones. You see that, you don't need to think about it. You know that it's poison. We don't have to ingest the poison to know that it's a fatal experience. The simple symbol of a red stop sign triggers an automatic response. For many, the sight of a police car on a highway will also trigger the automatic braking response. Let me tell you some symbols, and pay attention to your feelings, memories, attitudes, and experience they trigger in your mind. Crucifix, Statue of Liberty, American flag, military uniform, wedding dress, Star of David, World Trade Center, swastika, Olympics, Christmas tree. These symbols all trigger different feelings. One symbol marketers tend to use is the little red box that says, as seen on TV. That's a famous one because if it's on TV, it must be good. At least that's the knee-jerk reaction for many people. I remember my daughter getting it was one of those bird clocks where every hour a different bird would sing. And the bird sounded like bugs. It didn't sound right. And it had the little square at the top. But as I looked closer, it said similar to items seen on TV. But that simple association trigger, as seen on TV, was enough for someone to buy that clock. When you're trying to mold attitude as a persuader, it is useful to know how symbols shape the attitudes of your audience. Make careful study and research of symbols you want to use before you employ them. If used well, you will influence your audience's feelings and behavior to your benefit. Marketing and advertising executives use symbols in a very sophisticated way to persuade consumers. For example, did you know the average child recognizes the McDonald's arches before he or she is even 20 months old? There are symbols of freedom, symbols of success, and symbols of poverty. Find and use the symbols you need to create the proper association with your prospect. Association is also part of positioning your product. How do you want to be perceived out there? Are you perceived as the Rolls-Royce or the used car? What about these products? See how they position themselves. What are their associations when I say, for example, these drinks? Dr. Pepper, Coors, Budweiser, Schlitz, Heineken. What about cars? Different associations. They've positioned themselves in different ways. Volvo, Toyota, Mercedes, Rolls-Royce, Hyundai, Chevy. Or how do you feel about these companies or institutions? IRS, Welfare Department, Microsoft, Exxon, American Red Cross, or even DMV. So let's talk about affiliation. How do you create that link? Persuaders want you to affiliate their company with positive images, feelings, and attitudes. We tend to affiliate our feelings with our surroundings and our environment and then transfer our feelings to those we are with. For example, one technique that is often used is to feed somebody lunch. Why? Because people like the individuals and things they experience while they're eating. Now, that's assuming the food is good and the company is good. The idea is to link something positive in the environment with your message. Another good example is a good game of golf. A weekend at the beach, NFL tickets, or exotic cruise would all typically build positive associations and feelings in your prospects. Do you ever remember noticing how, after a crushing winning victory, sweatshirts sporting the university's logo were displayed all over the place? People want to be associated with winners. In fact, a study showed that when a university football team won, more students would wear the college sweatshirts. The bigger the victory, the more college sweatshirts became visible. When you become positive stimuli into the situation, you'll be associated with the pleasant feeling you have created. So there's a variety of different affiliations. Let's talk about all four. Advertising, sponsorships, images, and color. So let's talk about advertising. We know that's a billion-dollar industry. Advertisers and marketers use affiliation to evoke valuable associations in the minds of their prospects. They know that babies and puppy dogs automatically carry great associations of warmth and comfort in the minds of their audience. We see tire commercials with babies and car commercials with puppies, even though cars and tires really aren't that warm and cuddly. These warm appeals grab our attention and create positive associations in our mind. How about a few more examples? How about the popular slogans, like a good neighbor, same as homestyle cooking, like a rock, the breakfast of champions? Using slogans in this way, marketers are able to readily create positive feelings and associations without having to create a new image. They simply create even stronger and more positive associations with what already exists. One of the most common examples of advertising affiliation occurs in the alcohol and cigarette industry. How often do you see a lung cancer patient in a cigarette ad? Instead, the advertisers in these industries use young, vibrant people who are in the prime of their lives. And then there's the beer companies, who want you to associate drinking beer with having fun and attracting the opposite sex. Their ads portray images of men and women having fun while surrounded by beer. And their message is, even if they don't say it, if you aren't drinking, you aren't having fun. Now, on an intellectual level, we all know that these are just advertisements. But the associations they arouse in us stick in our minds. When companies need to change their image, they usually find a cause to latch onto. They will typically find a good social or environmental issue they can tap into. For example, an ice cream company that advertises their support for an environmental movement, yogurt companies start a campaign to stop breast cancer. You also see patriotic endorsements being employed to create positive associations in your mind. The simple sight of American flag or the phrase Buy American or Made in America can trigger instant positive associations. And this even goes way back, let's say in the 70s. The big American car companies dominated the U.S. auto scene. American car makers had no fear of imported automobiles. There was a tradition in most families to always buy the same make of car. Imports were associated with being cheap, unreliable, and a waste of money. When the baby boomers came along, however, they became better educated, and they refused to blindly follow the guidelines laid out by their parents. They saw a car with better gas mileage and reliability at the inexpensive price. The negative association shifted suddenly from foreign cars to American-made cars. And the rest is history. The turnaround almost put American car makers out of business. And still to this day, they lose big market share to imported cars. As the tide turned, American car companies had to learn to make new associations with their cars. Then there's sponsorship. How can you create a lasting impact? Closely related to advertising is the notion of sponsorship. Companies and organizations sponsor events that they believe will produce a positive association in the eyes of the public. They hope this positive association will transfer over to their company, product, or service. The Olympic Games pull huge sponsorships. Companies pay big money to get their names and products associated with the Olympics. What company wouldn't want to be associated with peace, unity, perseverance, determination, success, and winning the gold? The affiliations that companies create for us are very strong and memorable. We are always affected by the images that companies create. Everything we buy symbolizes something. And then there's images. How do you get through somebody's guard? You see, the images we see create attitudes within us. It's no random accident that most U.S. presidents have pet dogs in the White House. Consciously or unconsciously, a loving, obedient, trusting dog creates a positive image of its owner. The president usually has a dog. Voters would be more likely to reject a politician who preferred cats, hamsters, snakes, ferrets, or even tarantulas. It really isn't a secret that we are abundantly influenced by imagery when making everyday decisions. We're much more likely to donate when someone's wearing a Santa Claus suit than someone in street attire. We are more trusting of a sales rep wearing a gold cross around his neck. Sports bars decorate their walls with jerseys and other sports paraphernalia. Credit card companies are among the greatest users of imagery and association, because credit cards give us immediate gratification without us having to face the negative consequences until weeks later. We often think of the perceived positive associations before negative ones. Consumer researcher Richard Feinberg conducted several different studies testing the effects of credit cards had on our spending habits, and the results were amazing. For example, he found that restaurant patrons gave higher tips when using a credit card as opposed to cash. In another case, consumers were found to show a 29% increase in their willingness to spend when the merchandise was examined in a room displaying credit card logos. And more interesting still was the fact that the subjects were unaware that the credit card signs were an intentional and calculated part of the experiment. Feinberg discovered the same results when subjects were asked to donate to a charity. When the room was full of credit card insignias, 87% donated as compared to only 33% donating when the room didn't contain such signs. Ironically, credit cards were not used to give the donation. The study produced startling evidence on how associations can be used to create greater compliance. A simple image with its related associations caused the subjects to be more liberal with the cash they had on hand. What about colors? Wow, color does matter. Countless hours of research indicate that color is a critical part of persuasion. Notice how fast food, restaurants, schools, and professional teams all choose certain colors that represent themselves. We all know that colors can suggest a mood or attitude, but did you know that color accounts for 60% of the acceptance or rejection of an object or person? These impressions don't change overnight. We all have automatic color triggers and hidden associations about various colors. Color impacts our thinking, our actions, and our reactions. Armed with this knowledge, we must take into account the associations of colors in our persuasion and marketing. Color is a great persuasive device. Since we don't perceive what is happening, we don't develop a resistance to persuasive colors. This process happens at a completely subconscious level. Color is critical in marketing and advertising and product packaging. People spend millions of dollars to get the right colors on their package. Colors are not just for appearance either. They have significance. The favorite food colors are red, yellow, orange, and brown. These colors trigger automatic responses in our nervous system and stimulate our appetite. Fast food restaurants decorate with shades of red, yellow, and orange. These hues and colors are known as arousal colors because they stimulate the appetite and encourage you to eat faster. Compare these bright colors to the calming colors found in fine, expensive restaurants. These restaurants tend to use greens and blues in their design schemes. Colors will encourage you to stay and linger. Colors can be used to attract our attention. The shades that grab our attention are reds and orange. The challenge is that each color has multiple meanings, and one person might draw one meaning while another person might conclude an entirely different meaning. Red can be exciting to one group and mean unprofitable to another. To others, it could signal stop or danger. Red can denote boldness, aggressiveness, and extrovertedness, but it can also represent anger, danger, sin, and blood. Yellow is known as a fast color. In fact, yellow is the first color that triggers in our mind. Ever wonder why fire hydrants and fire trucks are starting to turn yellow? Because yellow causes you to be alert and watchful. An interesting study of the use of color occurred at the U.S. Naval Correction Center in Seattle, Washington. The entire holding cell was painted pink, except for the floor. Many inmates at this stage of confinement were hostile and violent. The cell was painted pink to see if the color would have a calming effect on the prisoners. Each person was only held 10 to 15 minutes in these pink cells. After 156 days of constant use, there were no incidents of erratic behavior in the inmates. You probably heard about the opposing team's football locker being painted pink, and they were mad because they knew the power of colors. What about the color of pills you take? Research has shown that the color of medicine can change the perception or association of the pill. Scientists conducted a study looking at the drugs people took and the associations users formed of them based on their colors. Here's what they found. Most people felt that white pills were weak and black pills were strong. In another study, researchers gave blue and pink placebos to medical students who were told they were either stimulants or sedatives. The students taking the pink pills felt more energy, while the students taking the blue pills felt drowsy. Color even enhances the perceived flavor and desirability of the food we eat. For example, orange juice with enhanced orange hue was preferred over naturally colored orange juice and thought to be sweeter, even though it was the same orange juice. This was also true with strawberries, raspberries, and tomatoes. The redder they looked, the more they were preferred. In one experiment, the flavor of coffee was manipulated by the color of the serving container. 200 people were asked to judge coffee served out of four different containers. So there's four containers, same exact coffee in each one. One container was red, one was blue, one was brown, one was yellow. Again, they all contained the same brand of coffee, yet they found the coffee in the yellow container was a little weak. The blue container coffee was dubbed too mild. 75% of the respondents found the coffee in the brown container to be too strong, while 85% found the red container coffee to be rich and full-bodied. Same coffee, different colored containers. A similar experiment was done with women and facial creams. Subjects were given pink and white facial creams, which were identical except for their color. 100% of the women surveyed said the pink cream was more effective and milder on their skin. In another experiment, researchers gave subjects laundry detergent to test for quality. Of course, all the boxes contained the exact same detergent, but outside the boxes were different colors. The test colors were yellow, blue, and a combination of both. So after 2 weeks of testing, the test groups reported in and found out that the yellow boxes were too harsh, and the blue boxes were too weak, and the detergent in the box that was yellow and blue was just right. The reports indicated that the yellow represented strength, while the blue represented the antiseptic power. In fact, in the original research with Cheer laundry detergent, they found the same results. They put ColorFlex and Cheer inside the detergent. They had red, blue, and yellow. Again, the detergent was always the same, but the ColorFlex were different. As the research began to unfold, the subjects determined that the yellow flex didn't clean the clothes enough. The red flex were a little too harsh and too strong, and the blue ones were the best for cleaning clothes. Colors play a large role in the success of a product, its packaging, or its persuasive ability. Color communicates and triggers emotions, moods, thoughts, and actions, all without words. What about the company that created green ketchup? It tasted good, but it just didn't feel right. Or when Pepsi came out with Crystal Pepsi, which tasted like Pepsi, but it wasn't dark like Pepsi. Flopped. They found out in supermarkets that if they can turn the containers of milk a little yellow, the plastic containers, that the milk would last longer. But then they also found out it wouldn't sell because nobody likes yellow milk. Colors trigger responses. So how do colors really make you feel? Red can be strength, power, anger, danger, aggression, excitement. Blue tends to be more of a cool color, truth, loyalty, harmony, devotion, serenity, and even relaxation. Yellow, again, the first color that triggers in the mind, brightness, intelligence, hostility, too much of it, wiseness, cheerfulness, and loudness. Then there's green, which tends to be a little more peaceful, tranquil, youthful. It can also denote prosperity, money, endurance, growth, and hopefulness. And then orange, of course, is bright. And sometimes orange can be perceived as unpleasant, but also can be perceived as sun, warmth, bravery, invigoration, radiation, and communication. And then there's purple, which denotes royalty, passion, authority, stateliness, integrity, and dignity. Then white, of course a plain color, but there's purity, coldness, cleanliness, innocence, and hygiene. Black is more of a desperate color, can also denote wickedness, futility, mysterious, death, and evil. Gray is more of a neutral color, could also mean nothingness, indecision, depression, dullness, technology, and impersonality. We all have different association triggers. Let me remind you that everything we do and say can trigger different associations. Again, up to 95% of persuasion involves a subconscious trigger. It just feels right. When somebody walks into your store, goes to your website, talks to you face to face, what type of associations are you triggering? It's amazing to me as we monitor different videos of someone's office or their store. They don't notice what they're doing right or wrong because they see it every day. There's certain expectations when people walk into your store. There's certain association triggers they want to feel when they go to your website. That is critical with the law of association. You see, the law of association is a powerful tool in helping you persuade your audience. When used correctly, you'll be able to create the desired feelings, emotions, and behavior in your prospect. It is in this way you can use association to bring about the best experiences and create a persuasive environment. Whatever it is your subject is drawn to, impressed by, or desirous of, seek to incorporate your message, your product, or service with great association triggers.